Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the principles the United States of America were founded on, such as the land of the free and home of the brave. Listen as we explain how this great nation strayed from the foundation, one nation under God. In this show, we will discuss the concept of freedom and the role of union with the divine and true independence. Learn how to liberate yourself from the realms of suffering and decay. And welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join our Kriya Yoga spiritual advance. Get the light in your soul and pray on prana. So Swami, like what I usually do in the beginning of the shows, I like to give a little bit of history as to what the topic that we're talking about. So this information I get from Wynn Calendar about Independence Day history. And Independence Day commemorates the signing of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. Independence Day is the most important secular holiday held in the United States. Americans take this day to celebrate all that is American, remembering the great sacrifices of our forefathers as they fought and won our independence from Great Britain. The holiday is also referred to as 4th of July, named after the date on which it is celebrated each year. But what is interesting, actually, is that the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence didn't occur until July 8th of 1776. What happened on July 4th was actually, that was the date that the Declaration of Independence was actually sent to the printers. So I thought that was really interesting. But what I wanted to ask you about and get your feelings on are those two words, declaration and independence. Like, declaration to me just seems such a powerful word. Like, here we are declaring our independence. And to me, I think that might be something that we should do individually, you know, instead of nationally, we have our Declaration of Independence, but individually, we should maybe declare our independence and declare that we want this union with the divine. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I would agree that the whole thing of a declaration is kind of reminds me of the power of a affirmation to you affirm that it is a reality now. But the thing about this is that what surrounds us is within us. And so I agree with you that you really have to make this personal declaration of independence. But a lot of us don't even know that we're in the realms of suffering and decay, and that we have to get off of the grid in order to really experience some of the things that are written in scriptures. And also, I think, in the original Declaration of Independence of the United States. And the dynamics of that, we've talked about this. This is the fourth time we're doing this show, which... Mm. I think it's kind of interesting in and of itself. And we were talking about just kind of being monotonous with this type of information. But by the same token, if nobody else is saying it, then you've got to repeat it over and over again until people start to grasp the concept of true freedom or true independence. that it's not really based on your external circumstances and situations, but it's really should be a reflection of an inner subjective state of being. And to be free from unnecessary dependencies, free from unnecessary desires, is really the way that it plays out.
Well, you know, what's interesting is I looked up on the dictionary online the word freedom, and one of the definitions that it states is exemption from external control, interference, or regulation. But what I think is really interesting about that is the phrase external control. So us trying to find freedom from an external environment, and then what does that look like when we're doing it?
Right. And that requires an internal adjustment. And that's one of the things that we offer with the programs that we teach in the Kriya Yoga that we teach. That this isn't just a lot of advice, but it's actually a dynamic, that it is a condition that has to be changed. That we are drawing from the outside world. The exchange of energy is we're looking for things visible and tangible. We're looking for things possibly also invisible but tangible. We're looking for duality, which is fear and limitation. And as long as we draw from fear and limitation, guess what? Like attracts like. If you draw from fear and limitation, that's what you become. And it was the area or the realms of the community of religion where individuals went to find this thing called liberation. But of course, the institutions that have taken over our religions have failed so bad that we no longer do that. And so they actually have turned on us, and they manipulate us with the same dynamics that our government manipulates us with, or the same manipulation that you get when you watch a TV commercial. That basically we're all being drawn by fear, and we're all driven by this need for external reinforcement, because that's what we come in with. We come in with a pattern. We look for food, mother, and approval, for validation. And we had to be taught how to separate from that and join with a different resource, a different source of sustenance that gave you a different return that was called liberation or freedom. And that's not just a lot of useless intellectual scholasticism, but it is an actual condition. It is physics. It should be a viable human enterprise that we should be striving to make this conversion, that we don't look for things from the outside, but that we get the benefit of internal support. And that's the difference between self-esteem and self-reliance.
Well, I'm glad you had mentioned about fear, because on one of the definitions for freedom, it says exemption from the presence of anything specified, and usually followed by the word from. So the example that they actually gave for that definition is freedom from fear. And isn't that how most of us live our lives, is either trying to stay away from what causes fear, or even like you were saying, you were talking about commercials a little while ago. And I think these commercials drive fear into a lot of people. Like, if you don't do this, if you don't drink this beer, you're not going to be popular. You're not going to get the girls, or, you know, the cute guy up at the bar. I mean, whatever it might be. And it seems like the marketing people know this. They know that that's how they should market those of us in developed countries, is based on fear. And we have to find the freedom to get away from that, have freedom from fear.
Right, that is an internal condition that nobody's really telling you how to do it, how to get out of it. And that's what's unique about the revolutionary ideas that we teach with our Kriya Yoga, that it's not about getting your hand to the floor, your foot on your head. It's really about getting this light in your soul. It's about joining with a resource of energy that's more reliable and more dependable than the outside world. And that when you do that and you have the benefit of internal support, there is a different exchange of energy between you and your environment now. Now, of course, you can live in the physical world and not draw off of it and not need that external reinforcement. That makes you an individual. That's what true independence is all about. Now you're out of the herd mentality. Now you're out of fear-based motivation. Doesn't mean that you're never going to be afraid, that it doesn't anesthetize your instincts and your appetites, but it puts you in a position where you are able to control your responses to things, and especially unnecessary dependencies, that if something isn't available to you, that the average person becomes addicted because of these fears. You internalize an image, you think you need it, and if you don't get it, you respond as if you're in danger. Again, everything that we do is teaching people how to find solution to this inner dynamic. And once you understand it, then you're off the grid. Now you know the difference between a need and a want. And if you don't get what you need, then of course you're in a real life-threatening situation. And you can respond appropriately to that. But if you don't get what you want, you don't have to respond as if you're going to die if you don't get it, because it's a want.
Now, as you were talking, there's two words that came to my mind. One was superiority and inferiority. So by us doing what is you're suggesting that we do, we find this connection to spirit that puts us in a superior mode, and kind of like it gives us into a superior attitude over all of these unnecessary dependencies. And I think that's where we need to be, is we need to feel that we're superior over that. And the unnecessary dependencies would be inferior. So I don't know, for some reason those two words just kind of popped into my brain as you were talking about that.
Yeah, that makes sense. But by the same token, once you have achieved this inner state of being, then your approach to life is different. And this is where what we talk about is the whole thing of having a resource-based economy, that you're now drawing from something that is more valuable than money, that's actually more valuable than food, water, and even air for that. But you have all of your ducks in order. You understand your priorities. And then, of course, you're able to be intelligent about your responses.
Well, I think it's about that time. We're going to pause and hear a word from our sponsors. So, listeners, we'll return with you shortly. Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine, a complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com for more information. And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, before we took the break, we were talking about freedom, and also from Wynn Calendar, I have an interesting fact about Independence Day, and they talk about the Statue of Liberty, and they say the Statue of Liberty is a great symbol of American freedom. It was given to the U.S. by France in 1886. It was delivered in 214 crates and assembled on what is now known as Liberty Island in New York Harbor. So then I got to thinking about symbols. And then I got thinking about how we talk about, you know, money is now our God. And so I got thinking about money. So then I was looking at a dollar bill, and I noticed on the back of the dollar bill, the symbol there is an eagle. So then I went to one of the books that I have, and it's called Medicine Cards. And this book is written by Jamie Sams and David Carson. And so what this is, it talks about animals as being symbols, and you use them as your animal totems, and you learn from them. So when I look up eagle in the medicine card book here that I have, it says, eagle medicine is the power of the great spirit, the connection to the divine. It is the ability to live in the realm of spirit and yet remain connected and balanced within the realm of the earth. Eagle soars and is quick to observe expansiveness within the overall pattern of life. So I thought that was really interesting, because we have talked about this before, about still being grounded on this earth and yet still having this connection to the divine, which is what we talk about in our Theory 2 classes, like how can we still be spiritual and still live in today's world? And then I think it's so interesting that the eagle, which is the symbol of our connection to the divine, is on the dollar bill.
Yeah, and also on that dollar bill is the image of the pyramid, which is the original pyramid was the cube that they cut off the corners and turned them in on each other, and you wind up with the geometry that actually represents the spiritualization of matter, which is apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. That's why I say, I mean, I think the origins of this country were far more grounded in what we talk about here than where we are now, as far as we don't have any point of reference as to what it is to be spiritual anymore. We have no understanding of what apotheosis means or what it looks like when I'm doing it. And that's what we're talking about here, that you change the exchange of energy between you and your environment. It's different when you have internal support than when you are seeking or searching for external reinforcement. And the other thing is that even with external reinforcement, there's a failure force that's in it, because everything external is dualistic. And there's this innate drive in all of us that we want to be whole and we want to be complete. So even though you're drawing from a resource of energy that is somehow sustaining you, it's not giving you what it is that you're looking for. And in order to actualize that experience, then you had to be taught how to separate from your attachment to things visible and tangible or invisible and tangible, and join with this invisible, intangible resource. And the symbols are important only if they point you in the right direction. And I think a lot of it, we just get caught up in the symbol and then it becomes another astral image, as opposed to connecting to this resource, this force right now that is supporting our lives. And when it's internalized in your body and you feel connected to it, things change for a human being. this metamorphosis of your feeling state isn't, again, it's not a lot of useless scholasticism. It's not just a bunch of advice, but it's a reality. It's physics. It's an experience that isn't matched by anything else.
You know, I know in previous shows about Independence Day, we had talked about the book by Dan Brown called The Lost Symbol, and we have spoken about the painting, the Apotheosis of Washington, I believe that's the name of it, and wondering if you could give us your take about the Apotheosis of George Washington.
Well, for me, it's that fresco that covers the dome of the Capitol building. I mean, just the simple fact that it's named the Apotheosis to me is enough. As far as the actual breakdown on of the image itself, there is an implication of some sort of change that is involved in this process of becoming this human in the adult state.
So I wonder what the symbolism of was to actually paint that fresco on the Capitol building. Was that for them to look up and see that, you know, remember that everything that we do, we are a nation under God? I mean, do you think that's why that they put that up there?
Well, you can only hope. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, you don't know for sure. And it's just like when I read scripture. I mean, when what Jesus was saying and maybe what the apostles were doing might not be exactly what it is that I, how the way I'm interpreting this. But fortunately for me, I had this experience based on this practice that when all of a sudden you prepare your body and you join with this other source of sustenance, that there is this epiphany that happens. This light in the soul initiates a progressive cycle, but you things change dramatically from that because you have the benefit of internal support. You can now live in the world and you can deal with real life circumstances and situations, and in a lot of respects, a lot of what we were talking about before, disappointments, because you don't need that. You can be disappointed and you can still move on because you're in tandem with something that's pure, powerful, and sacred underneath, so you don't crumble.
I know you usually say something to the effect of is that, you know, we're probably still going to go through our lives having some sort of difficulties and problems, but the thing is when we have a connection, it makes everything smaller so that we are able to deal with it on an intelligent level.
Yeah, it's way more manageable. But if it's a catastrophe, then and you're responding as if you're going to die and your heart's racing, your hands are sweating and you're in a tailspin, it's a very different dynamic than it's a bump in the road. Hey, you know what? I didn't get what I want. And my whole thing is if I don't get what I want, I try tomorrow, because my sense of well-being is established on what I need. And as long as I have what I need, then I know that I can carry on. The beauty of this internal connection, this resource-based economy that we talk about is that it keeps your feeling state positive. And so even when things in the outside world fail, then you can still move forward. You can still continue because you have the benefit of internal support.
So we have to have the wisdom to actually look at all angles. If we're having some type of a difficult situation, we have to be able to look at all these angles intelligently to be able to respond with what you're talking about, to be able to know that I want this to happen. It may not be happening, but heck, you know, I'll try it again tomorrow. we have to still have that wisdom to be able to see that and think like that.
Yeah, but what you're also going to learn is that you have to feel it. That, you know, we shape our reality with not just the thoughts that we think, but it's also the feelings we harbor, and it's the beliefs that we accept. And in the framework of approaching your life, you're going to learn that there's positive thinking and there's negative thinking. But beyond positive and negative thinking is really what we call right thinking. And to me, right thinking means that you know the difference between a need and a want. And then, of course, once you have that understanding, once you have that knowledge, then going from knowing to doing becomes the quantum leap. Because, sure, it's great to say that air is very important to me, but if your body is still looking for a glass of wine or a cigarette or a text or whatever, you don't feel connected to what it is that I'm talking about. Your change hasn't gone deep enough. And that's where using the physical body becomes paramount. And especially like the program that we have, where we actually do exercises, physical movements, that invite the life force into each and every system of your body, and also exercises that help you demonstrate qualities that your attachment to this life force enable you to become. And this human in the adult state is virtuous by nature. It's very different than somebody who is trying to uphold the conduct that is given to you in your religious instruction, and you're still drawing from fear and limitation. It's a whole different world than when you're drawing from this life force and you feel connected, and being virtuous becomes just natural to you, is a whole different game plan. But to me, that's what the origins of this country were founded on. Where we are today, how we got away from it is we started to substitute unnecessary dependencies and elevate them to a position of importance. And in fact, you know, one of the things we looked at was, if you notice on the money, that the eagle kind of moves out of the picture after you go from the ones to the fives to the tens to the 20s, the 50s, and the hundreds. Now we use the White House or the Treasury building, or, you know, there's different images there that are implying that money's different than it was the way it originated, as far as I'm concerned. Having a resource-based economy is paramount.
And what's interesting, as you were talking, I was looking over the definitions that I had pasted from the Dictionary for Freedom, and then one of them is the power to determine action without restraint. And so when you were talking about exercises, you know, I looked over and I saw that, and that we have the power in this country, for the most part, we have the power to be able to determine action without much restraint. And it's all about how we go about doing things and starting this program. And sometimes that's the hardest thing, is actually to start something. But to know that we've got the power to be able to determine this action, I think that's what you are just doing, is making this call to action. So I think it's with that note, I think it's about that time we'll start closing down our show for today. So listeners, I want to invite you out there to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, of course, you can make posts about this show or give us ideas about future shows. And keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you all. Be sure to tune in next week. I believe we're going to be discussing the full moon in Capricorn that's going to be taking place on July 9th. And also be sure to visit the Facebook page and take a look at our weekly Facebook Live videos that we have on there as well. So, Swami, do you have any final thoughts or comments about our show today?
Well, I would like to wish everybody a happy Independence Day and good luck with their for freedom on a very individual and personal level. And also, I'd like to invite people to join our Facebook group, the Samadhi Seekers, if you feel that you are of a like-minded person to the information that we employ here, because I think numbers are an important thing when you are trying to impact the collective. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.